The Lord God made man to be a recipient of his goodness, which would provide all that is needed to live. This is what we heard in today's Old Testament reading, that the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The lavishness of this divine goodness is amazing. We see that nothing was lacking. We also see that the Lord God's creation functioned as he designed it so that mankind could live. But, as we read in the scriptures, humanity did not abide by the instructions that the Lord God issued. We were told in today's reading from Genesis that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And as we read further in the scriptures, we see that those orders were violated. And when that happened, death and decay, chaos and confusion came into the world. And the earned wages of such sin included the death suffered by that man made by God. But as we also read in the scriptures, Jesus comes into that very same world of death and decay, of chaos and confusion. And he comes into that world to bring salvation to what was lost. He comes into the world announcing the good news of the kingdom of God for people to hear and to believe. And this action is a further demonstration of the Lord God's lavish goodness, an expression of his compassion over the plight of his fallen creatures. They are to benefit from the reversal of what they brought upon themselves, a reversal that he provides. As the apostle tells us, the wages of sin is death. Yes, indeed. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when Jesus comes to deliver that free gift to humanity, he sees firsthand with his very own eyes the plight that his human creatures were enduring. We encounter all sorts of narratives in the Gospels where Jesus does this, and today's Gospel reading is an episode of that. Now, it might not be as dramatic as some of the other incidents in Jesus' ministry, like when Jesus comes face to face with people who are suffering from serious illnesses, or they're afflicted by evil spirits, or even they have succumbed to death. But we do see that even in this maybe less dramatic incident, Jesus is also putting his compassion for humanity into action. He is doing so in that desolate place on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, where a great crowd had gathered to listen to him. We're told by the gospel writer Mark that in those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." These crowds had come to hear the good news of the kingdom of God that Jesus was announcing. He spoke about bringing them under his rule, under his governance, a good rule, a good governance. That message was not just meant for the people living in Judea or Galilee. It was also meant for the Gentile areas east of the Sea of Galilee where he was, because they also are included in this beneficial act that the Lord God was taking for his creatures, not just one small portion of his creatures, but for his human creatures, no matter what nation they were from. But as the people avidly were listening to Jesus' gospel message, they encountered a difficulty. The difficulty because within this fallen creation, food is no longer automatically provided like it was in Eden, as God had first made it. But Jesus knows that. And it's a truth that he sees firsthand with his own eyes. And that's why he calls his disciples to himself and tells them about the situation the crowd was facing. That the people had been with Jesus for 3 days. They had been with him 3 days, attentively listening to him, being fed in that way by him. But now they needed to be fed with the provisions of the body, as well as the provisions for the soul. But how did Jesus' disciples respond to what he said? They answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" The disciples realized the problem of hunger. They got that. But they couldn't conceive of how that situation could be remedied. At least, not by them. That is, they all knew how to obtain food in the fallen creation. You plant crops and raise them and harvest them and then turn them into bread. Either you make that yourself or you buy it from someone else. That's how it works. But that doesn't work in a desolate place where there are no fields full of grain and there are no bakers selling their wares. And they also knew that the few loaves that they had would not suffice. Because even Jesus asked them, "Well, how many loaves do you have?" And they said, "We have 7. And hungry crowds are not going to be fed with that little amount. But that is where the Lord God's lavish goodness arises. Overcoming the plight of the people, both spiritual and physical, would not be done by ordinary means, which possess no power to do so. Instead, the Lord God would do it himself. Jesus directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. This miraculous act is driven by Jesus' compassion and carried out by his power. He provides what the people need. And he doesn't only just remedy their situation, he even supplies more than necessary. As the gospel writer Mark tells us, they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people that were fed by this. And it's then that Jesus sends them away. Jesus fully provides for the people who are hearing and believing the good news of the kingdom of God. His goal is to restore the creation to what the Lord God initially designed. That would be the full outcome of his activity in this world, this fallen world. And what happens, what is done by Jesus in that desolate place is a marker that that greater restoration promised by God would be accomplished by him. And this is what we are to learn from this event in Jesus' ministry, the second of his 2 feeding miracles. We are to learn that mankind is created to be a recipient of divine goodness. And by performing this feeding miracle within Gentile regions, Jesus shows that his goodness is to be universal rather than a perk for just one small group of humanity. Jesus' first feeding miracle, that feeding of the 5,000, which happened earlier in his ministry, it carried with it those overtones of the Exodus, that in a way, Jesus was kind of replaying Moses and the manna in the wilderness. It's an event that happens near Passover, and we even read in the scriptures that the people seem to have messianic mania on their minds, and they even want to make Jesus king after this. But that quickly dissipates when Jesus starts speaking about himself being the bread of life that came down from heaven. But this second feeding miracle on the other side of the Sea of Galilee points to something greater. That the work of Jesus in this world would be extended to all who are drawn to him. That's seen in his statements about the motley crew who had come to hear his good news about the kingdom of God. When he says, I have compassion on them. They've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. Not the close people of Israel, but ones on the periphery, outside. We also have been drawn to Jesus, and his compassion is extended to us so that we hear what he has done to bring us into his salvation, what he has done for us to overcome the death and decay, the chaos and confusion that our sinful deeds have wrought. Because we have added and continue to add to the violation of divine orders. And like that first man created by God, we also disobey direct instructions that the Lord God issues. And what began with just one command, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, that's been compounded with all sorts of further transgressions done by our forefathers and done by us. The Apostle Paul vividly describes our natural, lawless state. In today's epistle reading, when he wrote to the Roman Christians, when you were slaves of sin. Interesting way to describe them. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time for the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. And that also describes us. But they and we were brought near to Jesus. We have been with him for 3 days. But not just any 3 days. Rather, we have been with Jesus for those 3 days that the Apostle Paul mentioned earlier in his letter to the Romans, the part we heard last Sunday, that do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And we know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Those are the 3 days. The 3 days of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that holy baptism tied us to when we became his disciples. Just as Joanna was tied to it this morning. And that puts us on the way to salvation. It brings us into newness of life now. And it also sets us up to be participants in the resurrection and restoration that Jesus will accomplish, the full outcome of his activity in this world. We benefit from all of that divine work done for us, as the apostle reminds us. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Now, we haven't yet reached that full and final outcome. It's what we hope for. It's what we anticipate. It's what we're on the way to. And our Lord Jesus knows this, because he's the one who has set us on that way. And he sees us in the same way as he looked at those Gentile crowds who came to hear him. I have compassion on them, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. Now, that same question asked by the disciples could be asked in our setting. How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? How indeed? There is no way to do so if we are limited to what we can provide for ourselves. But that's not how Jesus leaves it. He doesn't leave it to our ability. Rather, our Lord, who has brought us close to him, who has tied us to his 3 days of death, burial, and resurrection, supplies what we need. He sets before us his gospel gifts, not only for an initial time in baptism, but also in the meal that we eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. We can eat from the tree of life. We can partake of Jesus' divine words of eternal life instead of consuming the poisonous evil fruits. That's what Jesus gives to us. Good fruits. bring into our hearts and minds so that we don't faint on the way to the eternal life that he has won for us. Jesus supplies this for us so that we also can eat and be satisfied like the 4,000 were. And he provides more than enough for them, and he provides more than enough for us so that there are even baskets left over. Because we can come to receive from Jesus what he gives again and again and again and again, never exhausting it alongside everyone else that he calls to himself. That's the way it's going to be for Christian crowds of any size in the desolate places of this still fallen yet redeemed creation, not yet fully restored. It will be that way until Jesus returns as promised to bring the full resurrection and restoration that has been promised. And when that happens, on that day, he will once again shape his people from the ground and breathe the breath of life into them and place them into the eternal paradise that he has established. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.